We're going to start at Kuf Zayin Amud Bet at the Mishnah. Okay, we're going to learn a few different Mishnayot today about Miyun. Okay, Ezohi Ktana Shetzricha L'Ma'en. Okay, which situation does a Ktana Tzricha Miyun? We're going to get into all sorts of issues as to when does she need to do Miyun, is there a formal ceremony of Miyun, right? We've talked about ceremonies of Chalitza and Get and Kiddushin and, you know, where does this fit into the, what does she have to do? Is there a particular text she has to say? We're going to learn. Which type of ketana even needs miyun? Now we've learned already that right here they're going to say kol shehi si'ua ima v'achia lida'ata. Okay, which case does she need miyun? If the mother, remember, we're talking about someone whose father died, her mother or her brother, or for all intents and purposes, it could be any relative of hers. Okay, an uncle marries her off, but here the Mishnah's pointing out something very interesting. It has to be lida'ata. It has to be that she knows about it. Okay, and she's willing at that point. Hisi'ua shelo l'data, if it's against her will, ena tzricha miyun. That enough is enough to say she's not interested in this marriage. There is no marriage at all. There's nothing if she isn't interested. Rabbi Chanina ben Antugi nusomer, kol tinoga che'ina yechola l'shmor kidusheha, ena tzricha l'ma'en. Now we're going to start getting to ages. Okay? If you're young enough that you can't, what does it mean l'shmor kidusheha? Usually they would give her money, a ring, right? If she's going to not have a concept of what this ring means and that she's going to forget to lose the ring, right? She doesn't have an understanding, then she doesn't even need miyun. That's not considered any sort of marriage at all. Okay, she has to be a certain age. The Mefarshim basically say it's around the age of 6 to 8, depending on the kid. Okay, somewhere around the age of 6, she already can have a concept of property and belonging to someone. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ein Ma'asek Tana Klum, Ela Kemefute. Okay, he has a different opinion. He says, no, any Ma'asev Ktana is not considered anything. Okay, she's not considered married. It's more like a man seduces a woman and she agrees to sleep with him. That's really the situation. Even though it's interesting, they call it a Mefute because we've said any man who sleeps with a minor, it's considered Ones. But I think they just mean that here we're talking about a man has sex with a woman without marriage and it's just not considered anything. And therefore, if it was a Bat Yisrael Lekohen, lo tochal b'truma. Okay, it's not considered enough of a marriage that she can now eat truma. And Bat Kohen l'Yisrael tochal b'truma. If it's a Bat Kohen who now gets married off to a Yisrael, when she's a ketana, she can't eat truma, right? I'm sorry, she can still eat truma from her father's house because this marriage is really nothing. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, what's interesting here is that there's all different perspectives as to how we judge this marriage of a ketana, okay? The main thing to point out also in terms of ages, if we're already discussing ages and at what age can we start to have a marriage or not have a marriage, right? According to some opinions, you can have a marriage any age, right? According to Rabbi Chanina ben Tiginus, it has to be a certain age, maybe 6 or 8, depending on the child. And then Rabbi Elazar, who says any ma'asek ketana is not considered anything. And then the question is also, at what point can she refuse, right? So it seems like she can refuse at any point until, right, just before she becomes a gdola. Once she becomes a gdola, what happens? Okay, the main premise of this whole halacha is that, we've discussed this before, but I realize I haven't reviewed it with you, so it's important to know. When a father marries off a daughter, he basically does the kinyan for her. So it's a perfectly valid marriage midoraita. When the father's not around and the mother or the brother do it, the kiddushin is not a kiddushin midoraita. They don't have the koch to sell her, basically, or to do this, what's the word?
Kinyan.
This kinyan, okay. I'm looking for the acquisition, okay. This act for her, so that it only has validity midorabanan. So that's where this all comes up. Since it's only valid midrabanan, okay, and when does it become deoraita, this marriage? As soon as she becomes a gdola. And when she becomes a gdola, at that moment, it becomes midoraita. So if she, right, meaning like she sleeps with him when she's past the age of, you know, bat mitzvah or however, right? Again, it wasn't exactly 12. It depended on simanim. So basically, once she hits that point, it's too late. She can't go back because then it has deoraita validity. It's only until that point, it has only derabanan status that she can do miyun and say, I don't want to marry this guy, and the marriage is dissolved, basically. Right? It's as if there was no marriage. That's the whole kiddush
here. Is valid if the father marries her off?
Yes. If the father marries her off, she doesn't have a way out except for get. It's a valid marriage midoraita. If she's a ketana, it doesn't matter. It's a valid midoraita. Okay. Now we get to this last line, which we're not going to understand yet. We'll wait till the Gemara explains it. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Kol akava shehi mina ish, ki ilu hi ishto. Kol akava sheena mina ish, ki ilu eina ishto. If whatever is holding it back is from the father, from the man's side, then it's like it's she's his wife. And if it comes not from the father's, from the man's side, it's as if she's not his wife. We don't really know what this means. We're going to see soon. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Lav Matnita Tana. Okay, some people say Rav Yehuda said it. Some people say the Mishnah. There was a Braita about it. Barishona hayu kotvim get miun. Here we start to see what did they do? What was the tech? What was the ceremony that had to happen? So they used to write a get miun. A get is just a word for a shtar, okay? A document. It doesn't mean a get. It means a miun, a shtar miun. Lo re'ina be, lo tzvina be, I'm not interested in you. The late ana bayali lihignas ba'ale, and I don't want to marry you. Okay? They wrote this whole text. Kevan dechazu dinafish dibura. Once they saw that it was kind of lengthy, amre ate le'ichlufe begita. They were worried that people were going to confuse this with a get. There's a few different interpretations about what the confusion is going to be. Rashi says they were worried that a sofer who doesn't really know what he's talking about, okay, shechtevenu sofer bor, beget gerushin legaresh bo isha, that he's going to use this text also for a get, because he won't realize that this is a text of miun and not get, and therefore we're worried that he'll end up writing a text of a get like this, and a text of a get can't be written like this, because the text again, it has to be sefer kritut, that's korek ben ola bena, it really breaks them up. It says, you know, our marriage is dissolved, and you're now muteret lekol adam. And they were worried that a sofer might get confused and think that this is how you write a get. Other mefarshim say, no, the confusion is we're going to think that this woman is a grusha. And once we think she's a grusha and not miun, it's a whole different ballgame, which we're going to see soon, but I'll already kind of tell you. If you do miun, and we said the marriage is dissolved, if the marriage is dissolved, she can marry all his relatives. There's no, I remember we learned about if they get divorced, you still, Isur Arayot still apply. She can't marry a Kohen because she's a Grusha, but if it's miun, she can marry a Kohen. So there's all sorts of ramifications. So people might think that she actually had a get and treat her as if she's a Grusha. So two different options as to what this is. Okay. So therefore, it's kinu hachi. Okay. Instead, what do they say? Very simply, one line: "Biyom ploni miyana ploni bat ploni ba'anpa, ba'anpana." On this and this day, this and this woman refused to marry this and this guy in front of his face. Okay, or in front of us, actually, not in front of his face, in front of us. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. So they made it much simpler. Ezehu miu. Now another braita which talks about how can you do miun. This is even less than having a shtar. You're going to see there's all sorts of ways that you can do miun where you don't even have to really say, I don't want to marry this guy. You can imply that you don't want to be married to him. Okay? Ezehu miun. Amra. E'ef shi beploni bali. E'ef shi bekidushin shekidshuni an imi v'achi. Okay? That's very simple, right? She says, I don't want this guy to be my husband. I don't want the marriage that my mother and brother married me off. Yeter alken Amar Rabbi Yehuda afilu yoshevet ba'priyon v'holecha mibeit aviyah lebeit ba'ala v'amra e'efshi b'ploni ba'ali zehu miun. Okay, if she sits in a, I think a priyon is like a palace, right? In a
marriage.
Oh right. Oh, sorry. It's the marriage. It's the chupa. Right. She's sitting on the way to the chupa. She's going from beit aviyah lebeit ba'ala, and she says, "I'm not interested in my husband." That's miun. Like, you know, you have people get the jitters on the day of the wedding, right? And she says, I'm not interested. Okay, that's miun. Yeter alken, even more so, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, afilu hayu. So now, we have, okay, even more so. This is two really good ones I think you're going to like. Afilu hayu orchim mesubim bebeit ba'ala, v'hi omedet umashka lehem. Okay, he invites all these guests, and she's busy serving. Right? You ever those disgruntled wives? You can't believe I have to serve for this guy. V'amra lehem e'ef shi b'ploni ba'ali. I can't take this. It's too much for me. That's miun. Okay, harehu miun. Okay, gets even better. Yeter alken amar v'yosi bar Yehuda afilu shigra ba'ala itzlochem vani la'vi lo chefetz mishelo. She goes to the store. He says, go buy me this item. She goes to the store to get it. Vamra, EF Shiba Ploni Bali. Some of the Mefarshim say the issue is that she says this to the Chenvani. She says to the Chenvani, I can't take my husband. He sends me on these missions for him. Okay? So, right, the question is it because he wanted her to bring things for him and not for her, like he wasn't looking out for her interest, or she just feels like I'm his slave? Okay? Ein lecha miyun gadol mizeh. It's interesting. He even says it, right? This is the most miyun there could possibly be. So you see that you don't even need the lashon of miyun, right? Of saying, I don't want, right? You just have to say, oh, I can't take my husband, or I don't want to be with him. Which, in that context, it could just be you're saying it out of, you know, in a certain situation. That's already considered miyun. Rabbi Chanina ben Antuginus Omer, kol tinoket. Now we have this issue of, right, you have to, if you understand the concept of lishmor kidusha, then, right, if you're not yet at that stage, you don't even need miyum. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha Rabbi Chanina ben Antuginus. We paskin like him. Tana, ktana, another brayta, ktana shalom yana, v'amda v'niseit, mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera amru, nisueha, hen miyuneha. Okay, what if she didn't do miyun, but she goes up and gets married to somebody else? That is an indication, right, of miyun. Clearly, she wasn't interested in this guy. So what's interesting about this is, yes, there's an act, but it's an act that has nothing to do with the first husband, right? At least to say, okay, oh, I can't stand, my husband makes me do this. Here she's going and doing an act of marrying somebody else. That's considered miyun of her first husband. Ibayalahu nitkad shamahu. What if she's only engaged? Okay, what if she gets engaged to the next husband, I guess? Right? I think this was if she married someone, but what if she got engaged to someone? Is that what we're saying, Katana? Right, yeah, okay. So she gets engaged to someone else, but doesn't get married to him. Is that also considered miyun? So Tashma, let's learn from this source. Tana shalom yanava amda benit kadsha. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera amru kidusha hen hen miyuneha. So here we have a source where we say, yes, Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera would agree that kidushin or nisuin to a new person would basically mean she is refusing to marry the first guy. Now they want to ask a question about this. Ibayelhu. Plige Rabbanan aleh to Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera olo. When Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera says this, do the Chachamim disagree? And they think if she marries someone else or gets engaged to someone else, then she is still married to the first guy? Right? Do they disagree with him? And im timtzei lomar pligi, if you are going to say, they argue, b'kiddushin o afilu b'nisuin. Right? In other words, do they disagree about both cases? If she gets engaged to someone, do they say no? Only if she gets married to someone, but if she were to get engaged to someone, she'd still be married to the first guy. Okay? They want to ask all the possibilities. V'im timtzei lomar pligi afilu b'nisuin. Okay, now let's assume they do argue about nisuin, okay? Even b'nisuin, halacha kemoto o en halacha kemoto. Do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera or do we not? Ve'im timtzei lomar halacha kemoto b'nisuin o afilu b'kiddushin. In other words, they're giving all possibilities. If they argue even about nisuin, and the chachamim say, right, we don't consider that miyun, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera says we do, and then let's say we say, okay, fine, they argue with him, but who do we paskin like? And if we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, do we paskin like him in that case, and also the Kiddushin case, or maybe only in the Yisuin case, not the Kiddushin case? We have all, right? And it's either they all agree about everything, or they disagree about everything, or they disagree about some of the things. And then when we paskin, who do we paskin like, and in which case? They're basically raising every possible permutation. Tashma, let's learn from here. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera. So now, what do you learn from this, if you're familiar with this, right? If you say the halacha is like him, can we assume that someone disagrees with him? You don't need to say the halacha is like someone if everybody agrees. So they say, halacha michal de pligi, right? It must mean that they argue. But that only answered one of our questions. Now we know they argue, but we still don't know what are they arguing about. Nisuin and kiddushin, right? Or just kiddushin. Ba'kate tibayelach dehava nesiba meikara. Odilma mikadsha, right? In other words, is it only if she was married or even if she was engaged? So tashma dekalte da'avdan imud. Do you remember the avdan? We saw him a few dapim ago on Kufay, I believe. And he was this, what was his story? He said, they got angry at him and they said things happened to him because of that, right? What was his story? It just eludes me.
Rav Papa, he left it.
No, that was Abaye with Rav Papa. But he, I forgot exactly what it was, but it says there that Boto Ayom, two of his kalot did miyun in their husbands. Okay, two of his daughters-in-law, here it is. Okay? It was about walking on the heads of the Rashei Am Kadosh. It was Shabbos' daf. We didn't learn it together. Anyway, he says, you can't pass through, right? And then they sent him to do the message. He was the messenger. And anyway, it says, on that moment, he became a mitzora, and two of his sons drowned, and two of his daughter-in-laws did miyun to their husbands. So they explain here that when they're talking about the kalot of Abdan, Imrud means they rebelled against their husbands. Here it really means probably they did miyun. Okay? They did miyun to their husbands. Shadar Rabbi Zugej Rabbanan Lemivdikinhu. The rabbi sent a pair of rabbis to check, to make sure they were ktanot, right? Because if they did miyun when they were gdolot, it wouldn't work. Amrei lehu nashe. Okay, so now what happens? Avdan sends, okay, imagine the two women are standing over there. Avdan sends these messengers to go check out the women. So they see these two men coming, and there's another group of women next to them. And the group of women next to them says, Amre lehu nashe, this group of women says, oh look, chazu gavraichu deka'atu. I see your husbands, they're on their way over to you. Okay? There's actually a few different nuschaot and a few different ways of understanding, but right now I'll explain according to one. Amre lehu nehavi gavraichu didchu. Those should be your husbands. In other words, we're not interested in them. Okay? We don't want to marry them. You can take them if you want. Okay? It turns out it wasn't their husbands, right? And some people explain because of that that's not really the way the story went. It's obviously they didn't recognize them from a distance. Okay? So, Amar Rebbe, ein lecha mi'un gadol mizeh. Okay? So, you say, this is mi'un, right? They're saying, basically, we don't want to marry these guys, right? You can have them if you want. If you're offering your husbands up to some other women, then it must be that you're not interested in having them. Again, you could read the sugya in a whole different way, but either which way, the point is, this is mi'un. So they say, my love to have a nesiba. Was it not the case that they were married? One second. Why was it obvious that they were married here? Right. Here the question is, right. Yeah. Here the question is, if you want to do miyun, do you have to, is it enough to say we can do miyun like this even if you're not married? Is it from nisuin or from kiddushin of the first marriage? So now they say, clearly they were married to their first guys, their first husbands, right? But then they say, no, maybe dahava makad shekidushe, maybe they were only engaged to their first husbands. So you don't really know from this story whether they were engaged to the first guys or married to the first guys, and therefore was this, can you get out of this even with miyun, or do you need something stronger? In other words, does it matter whether they were married or engaged? In any case, the halacha now paskins, v'halacha k'rab Yehuda ben Batera, v'afilu b'nisuin dekama. Even if they were only married to the, even if they were really married to the first guys, okay, then still by marrying someone else, that's enough to do miyun against the marriage, strong enough to basically override the marriage of the first guy.
Is that the final word on this?
That's the final word according to this line of the Gemara. I mean, you always have to ask the question when the Gemara says halacha, who's saying this? Is it the Gemara? Is it a later edition? Sometimes there's various levels of the text. We don't really have time to get into this usually, but I'll point it out that sometimes even things written, the Gemara is generally the Amoraim are from 200 to 500. But in the period between 500 to 800, it was a time period called the Sforaim or the Stamaim. And they're called Stamaim because they added things into the text of the Gemara that they kind of wrote notes on the side, but eventually got incorporated in the text. And there was these later editions, and often they did things more like the halachas like this. They kind of added these notes. Which means already that maybe, you know, the status of them. But usually, if there's halacha and nobody argues, then that's the situation.
Because this seems like hefker, total hefker.
Yes,
somebody's
it's very
married
much
for 5 years, they've had bia, they've
yes.
had everything. What
yes.
if they have children?
But you have to remember, she's a ktana. So the assumption of the ktana was not having children.
And a bia.
But it sounds like
she was... Right, well, she was having bia. Yeah, I mean, if they're married, I assume they were having relations.
But how do you know there's no children?
But, right. So first of all, remember we saw that sugya, that if you're under 12, if you get pregnant, your child's not going to make it. So they didn't really think there was much viability to which a baby being born to a girl under 12. I mean, it would be a good thing to check nowadays. I don't know if kids under 12 can really, really end up anyway having children.
But it says that you could tell she's a ketana, she really wasn't aware of what was happening. But clearly,
here, it looks like she's aware of what was happening because she says, I don't want to be with him.
Right.
I don't want to be with him. I mean,
yes. No, so there is awareness.
How can you use that as a standard?
Because there's awareness, but there's not maturity for a marriage. So there's a different level, right? Would you, I mean, you have a daughter who's close to 12. Would you say, oh, yeah, she can get married? I mean, she's got a certain level of maturity, but she's not ready to be married. That's ready to have children.
Yeah.
And it's a whole different ballgame. That's why Rabbi Hanina ben Tzvi says it. He says, once they're six, they have an understanding, or six to eight, right? There's some understanding of what this means. But does it mean that they're married? They're not a gdola yet, right? They're not chayavin in mitzvot in a lot of ways, right? They're,
so this can happen between ages 6 to 12.
Right, basically.
After 12, that's it?
After 12, that's it. I mean, it depends. If she has simanim, she has to have simanim of maturity. Right? Again, nowadays, how we do that, you know, is a separate thing. But nowadays, anyway, people aren't generally marrying off ketanot. But well, it does still happen once in a while. Okay. Rabbi Elazar Omer. Okay, now we're up to this... Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ema Sektana Klum Ela Kemefuta. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, right? He keeps commenting on all these things. Chozrani al kol tzadei chachamim v'lo matzati adam shishveh midotah b'ktana ke Rabbi Elazar. He is the most consistent in his shita. Okay? Sha'asa'a Rabbi Elazar ke mitayelet imo b'chatzer v'omedet micheiko v'tovelet v'ochelet b'truma la'erev. Okay, assuming she's a bat kohen, she's someone, she's mitayelet imo, b'chatzer, then she gets up from his bed, basically, she sleeps with him, then she goes and she tovels to become tehora, and then she can eat truma that evening. In other words, he sees this as an absolute non-event, right? Non-significant event as it comes to marriage. He treats her entirely as if this didn't happen.
As if what didn't happen?
Marriage. It's not a marriage at all. It doesn't immune, right? He said... Anything you do with a ketana, is this it? You just went into yule, you slept with her, you know, and then she goes back to her eating truma if she's a bat kohen. Okay, it's just like premarital sex, basically, which has no relevance lahalacha. You know, it's not. We don't encourage this kind of behavior, but halachically, it doesn't have effects on these things. She's not married, basically. It's not a marriage. Tanya Rabbi Lezer Omer. Now we're gonna so Rabbi Lezer Omer ema sektana klum ve'em bala. And now here we're gonna see where he's consistent. Here it says there's a difference here of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Eliezer. I assume it's really supposed to be the same person. Ema sektana klum ve'em bala zakai lo b'mitziata ve'lo b'maseyada ve'lo b'haparat nedareh. Ve'ein yorsha, ve'ein mitameila. Remember all these things, right? He doesn't get her mitziah. He doesn't get her her salary for what she works. He can't be made for her nedarim. He's not your reshota if she dies. He doesn't become tameila if he's a kohen. Klalo shel davar, eina ki ishto lechol davar, ela shetzricha miun. What's interesting here, I don't know, right? He's very consistent, but he says she still should do miun. Okay? Like, I guess lechumra. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, the opposite opinion. Bala zakai b'mitziyata, uvma seyadeh, uva parat nedera, v'yorsha, umitamela. Klalo shel davar, harei ki ishto lechol davar, ela sheyotza b'miyun. In other words, she's considered his full-fledged wife. However, the one thing is that she doesn't need a get. She can get out by miyun. Okay? He sees the marriage of a ketana as a good marriage, but you can get out with this miyun. I'm a Rebbe, nir'im divrei Rabbi Lezer, midivrei Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, his words seem to be better. So Rabbi Eliezer hishveh midotav b'ktana, Rabbi Yoshua chilek. Okay, so what does that mean, right? Rabbi Eliezer treated her entirely as a ktana, but Rabbi Yoshua treated her partly as a gdola and partly as a ktana. So my chilek, I ishtohi tibai get, right? If she really was his wife, he should have required a get. But then they say, wait, but Rabbi Eliezer nami, I lav ishto miu nami lo. Tibai, right? So then they say, wait, Rabbi Lezer's not 100% consistent because if she's really not his wife, then she shouldn't need miun. So what do they say? Ela b'chdi tepuk? They're saying, what, you're just going to let her walk out the door one day? Like, that's even Rabbi Lezer, who treats her as a ketana and says that it's not really a marriage, but for all intents and purposes, they're living together right now, right? So he doesn't treat it as a marriage, but they're saying, what, one day she could just walk out the door without any sort of act? So he says, okay, ad kan, right? It's true we don't consider this a marriage, but she needs some sort of formal, you know, very informal formality to get out of it. You can't just let her walk out the door and go marry someone else.
What happens if they marry her off and she's a ketana, but then she becomes...
So that's what I said. Once she becomes a gdola and she's with the guy still, then already it's a good marriage. It becomes
d'oraita.
She can't do me.
Even though her father didn't give her away.
Yeah. Because the moment she has sex with him, once she's a gdola, that's the act of, you know, kinya midoraita. Okay. Now we're going to finally understand this from Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which was very unclear. We're going to see two different interpretations here. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmua. Tva'u ali nase va'amra machmat ploni ba'ali. Okay, if someone says, we want to marry you off. Let's say she's married to this guy, right? Her family married her off, right? Not her father. Mother, brother marries her off. Then someone else offers her to marry someone. And what does she say? I can't marry him because I'm already married to this guy, right? Machmat ploni ba'ali. Zoe akava shehimina ish. Okay? And what does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say about it? If it's akava shehimina ish, ki'ilu hi ish to. That proves, right? When she says, I don't want to marry him because I'm already taken, that proves that she wants to, right? She's his wife. Machmat b'nei adam she'enam muhuganim li. But if she says it's akava she'enam mina ish, she says, oh, it's not a good shidduch you're offering me. I'm not interested. Right? Zoe akava she'enam mina ish. And then we say in that case, she'ena ishto, right? There's no proof now that she wants to stay married to the first guy. It sounds adraba. That doesn't sound like a good shidduch, but I'd be happy to find a different one. Okay, now you have to be careful because what's interesting, you might have said, right, she's just giving you an excuse. When she says, I'm already married, right, it's a good way to get out of, right, like if you're dating and people are offering you, you know, it's always easier to say, I'm already dating someone rather than saying, it doesn't sound like a good shidduch to me, right, because then they'll start pushing you. Oh, but wait, he's really blah, blah, blah. Anyway, here the assumption was she was being honest. So that's one option as to what akava mina ish is and akava she'ena mina ish. Abai bar Ava Rav Chanina bar Avin da'amre travayu, natan la get, zoi akava she'ena ish. If he gives her a get, that's akava mina ish. V'hu asur b'krovoteh. And there's two ways this marriage between them can end. Okay? Right? She gets married off by the brother. If he gives her a get, that means the akava, right, the marriage didn't happen because of the man. If that's the case, then harei ki ishto. Now this is going to be the premise for the next Mishnah, which is, if he gives her a get, get means that she was his wife, okay? And there's all sorts of ramifications about that, okay? So that's akava mina ish. Miun, right, was from akava she'ena mina ish. And then it proves that she wasn't his wife. Okay? Obviously, in both situations, she's not his wife now. But the whole question was, what was? And that's going to have, like we talked about, all sorts of ramifications. So now, this is what he says. V'hu asur b'krovoteh, v'hi asura b'krovav. Right, if it's a get, then they were married. If they were married, then even after the divorce, she can't marry his relatives, he can't marry her relatives. Salamina kiuna, she can't marry Cohen now. Mi anabo, what if she did miun? Zoe akava she'ena mina ish. And then, like the Mishnah said, right, or Elazar ben Yaakov said, she's not like his wife. And hu mutar b'krovoteh, hi mutar b'krovav, v'lo psalamina kiuna, she can marry a Cohen if she wants. Okay? Haktan elekaman, and then they're going to quote now the next Mishnah, which we're going to read in a minute. So now they're saying, what's the chiddush of him saying this, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Because the next Mishnah, okay, you have to remember, we're learning them separated. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the very end of this Mishnah. And the first words of the next Mishnah are exactly that. So why would he bother saying it if the next Mishnah is already going to say that? So that's the Gemara's question. Haktani lekaman. Hamima enet be'ish. But Natan Laget, who was Sir Bakrovotev, he has Sura Bakrovav, Salam and Kuna. So they're saying, how could you explain where Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that when the next line in the Mishnah says that, basically, the next Mishnah? So they say, oh no, that's very simple. Perushe Kamifarish. The next line in the Mishnah is explaining Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay? So you can explain it that way. You can either say it has nothing to do with it, take the first option, which is, right, whether she says, I don't want to date these guys, right, I'm not interested in marrying this guy because I'm already married to my husband, right, that option. Or you could say it really is it's the lead-in to the next Mishnah, and the next Mishnah is explaining his words. So now let's learn the next Mishnah. Hamime'enet bi'ish, okay, we just learned this, hu mutar b'krovoteh, hi mutar b'krovav, alo psalam in a ke'una. Natan laget, hu asur b'krovoteh, v'hi asur b'krovav, upsalam in a ke'una. Okay, that's very simple. Now we're going to get to very complicated. Natan laget, let's say he gives her a get. Then, hichzira, okay? Remember, I'm erasing this, but remember what we just said. If it's get, it proves that they were married before. If it's miun, it means they weren't married before.
And this is so all now, she's still a ketana.
Right, it's all she's still a ketana. Now, what happens here? Natan la get. He gives her a get. Then, They get remarried again. He brings her back, which is allowed, right? Because she hasn't been with anyone in between. Vichzira, mi anabo, then she does miyun. Okay? Now what? V'niseit la'achir. Okay, now what's the issue? Now she gets married to somebody else. Okay? First she's with one guy. Now she's with guy number two. Okay? Now, what's going to be the issue? Nit'ar malo nit'garsha. What if she gets divorced or widowed from the second guy? Okay? Muteret lachzor lo. She can go back to her first husband. Why? Because, right, if they were really married, right, if they were married, and then she goes and is with guy number two, and she gets divorced or widowed from him, then she goes back to guy number one, she can't. That's machzir grushato. So the assumption here is since she did miyun at the end, it cancels out the get. It shows that she was never really married. She was really a ktana, right? Because, again, what's the issue here? Miyun shows, okay, and this is what we're going to establish and then maybe question. When miyun is the last act, that shows that everything before that was a maasek ktana. What's part of the issue here? We're worried that people are going to see this. They see she got a get, and they're going to say, oh, she got a get. They don't know. They're not going to look at the get. Now, it's true the get has a date in it, but they're not going to look and start calculating. How old is this girl? When was she born? Right? They're not going to start doing those calculations. They're going to say, oh, she had a get, and now she goes back and marries her first husband after she was with someone else. But if they know that miyun was the last thing that happened, it'll be clear to everybody that she was a ketana. And therefore, anything that happens before that's going to be okay. Okay? That's the premise right now. We're going to see it's not so clear.
I'm just surprised that you can do miyun after a get. I feel like a get is so...
Well, no, but then they got remarried. It was a separate marriage. It was a whole different marriage at that point. Right?
It's also possible the man gave the get.
Well, the man definitely gave the get.
No, but I'm saying the miyun is instigated by the woman.
Yes, and we're going to see that that's relevant here. Who instigates is also going to have factors here. Okay? It's a good Shari's point. You have something very important. The get is given by the man. The miyun is done by the woman. We'll see why that's critical here. Okay, next case. Mi anabo vihichzira. What if she refuses to marry him? Right? First she does miyun, then she remarries him. He brings her back. Then natan la get. Then he divorces her. So the opposite order, right? Miyun, then get, right? Then niseit la'acher. Okay? Then she gets married to someone else. V'nit armala onit garsha. What do we say? Asura lachzorbo. Okay? She can't go back to her first husband. Because in this case, the get happened last. And again, it's going to look like she was a gdola already. Zehaklav. Get achar miyun asura lachzorbo. Miyun achar get muteret lachzorbo. Okay? It's important what happens last. Hamema'enet be'ish v'niseit la'acher. Okay, now, this was all with one guy going back, right? She's with two guys, basically. One guy, then, right, where miyun and the get happened, depending on the order. Then she goes to go to someone else, and she goes back to her first guy. Now we're going to have a different situation. She is mema'enet be'ish, okay? She does miyun to guy number one. Okay, I'm going to erase. We have guy number one, okay? She does miyun to guy number one. Now she goes and gets married to somebody else, okay? Mema'enet be'ish, niseit la'acher, v'girsha. And then he gives her a get. Number two gives the woman a get. La'acher comes number three. She goes and marries number three. Umiyanabo. Okay, she does miyun. Number four comes along. La'acher. Bigirsha. Okay, get. Now the Bach adds another case. The Hagahora Bach sometimes says there's a problem with the nusach here. You see there's an aleph there. And it says, and then to another guy, la'acher umiyanabo. So she has five husbands here. Miyun, get, miyun, get, miyun. Okay? Now, what's the Gemara going to say? What would you think, based on what we learned? Since the last thing she did is miyun, that's why the Bach Girsa is very important, everything before that is irrelevant. It's as if she had no marriage. Okay? But what does the Mishnah say? Zehakla, kol shiyotzah hemenu beget, asura lachzorlo. B'miyun muteret lachzorlo. Number two and number four, she can't go back to him. Okay? She can't return to him. That was a good marriage. But the miyun ones were not good marriages, and she can go back to those husbands as if the marriage was dissolved.
It's consistent with the Mishnah, because in the Mishnah it was get and miyun to the same guy. So if your last act was that person with the miyun, then you can.
Okay, so the Gemara is going to try to distinguish. Maybe it depends on the guy. And there, the first two cases were all the same person. So we're talking about the miyun dissolving the get, right? As if she. But we did say, and this is what's going to be critical, Miun at the end shows, what were we worried about? That people will think she was a gdola when she married these guys, and therefore the marriage was valid. Remember, as long as she's a ktana, the marriage is only midrabanan. So therefore, we don't treat the marriage so seriously. So now, since Miun was the last thing she did, it's clear to any onlookers, right, that she was, and as it's the evidence is, number one, she was clearly a ktana. Her marriage was only midrabanan. It wasn't so significant. Number two, it's not going to look like she was older because she did miyun at the end. So really, in theory, should dissolve all the other marriages. So we're going to discuss this.
So all the restrictions that apply to Grusha do not apply to her, even though she got to get twice.
Exactly. Okay? Because there's no Isser Doraita Machzir Grushato, because she was never Doraita married to him. Okay. So first the Gemara is going to say, Alma ate miyun umabatel get. What you can imply from the first case, right? Again, go back to the first case. She does get, he gives her a get, then they remarry, then she does miyun. So what do you see? Miyun comes and is mevatel get. And then they say we're miyun. But wait, this contradicts the end of the Mishnah, what we just put on the board. Hamima'enet be'ish v'nisei lacher v'gersha, lacher u'mianabo, lacher v'gersha, etc. Ze haklal. Kol she'atztahe menu beget, asura lachzorbo, b'miyun muteret lachzorlo. Alma, what do you see here? Lo ate miun dechavre ubatel get didei, right? The miun of one guy is not mevatel the get of another guy. Okay? In which case, what do you see? The having miun at the end doesn't resolve our issue. Okay? So now, there's two possible answers. One is a very simple one. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Shmuel. Tavra. Okay? Tavra is tough and shin switch. It really means shavra. Break it up. Okay? It's a very common thing where they say break up the Mishnah. Misha shenazo, lo shenazo. Misha shinazo, lo shinazo. Whoever taught the first part of the Mishnah didn't teach the second part of the Mishnah. It's two different opinions. One guy thinks the miyun is mevatel anything before it, and one guy thinks miyun isn't mevatel anything before it. I'm a Rava. Okay, so that's one option. A very simple, right, an easy out. It's not the best answer necessarily because it would be weird for the Mishnah to kind of, right, it seems like a very organized Mishnah. If this case and that case, it doesn't sound like two different opinions. Amarava, umay kushya. Why are you even asking a question? This goes along the lines of what, Donna, you were saying, but there's a little more detail that we have to understand. Umay kushya. Why are you asking even a question? Dilma miun didei mevatel get didei. Maybe the miun with the same guy is mevatel his own get, but miun dechavre lo mevatel gita didei. Okay? Very simply, just like Donna said, one is with the same guy, so miun can be mevatel the get and say they were never married. But the miun with another guy can't be mevatel the get with a different guy. Who's to say? So then they say, why would you think it wouldn't be? In other words, let's think about it more. Okay, and this is what I don't think you would have figured out on your own. I certainly didn't until I read this. Umayshna, they're going to say the same logic should apply for both. If you're going to say that in this case of the five guys, the last miun doesn't cancel the get before it, why would that be? Okay, now we're going to hear why. Really, it goes back to what we said before. The final miun really does mean that now she was, all of this was a maaseh ktana, and really it should be mevatel everything. But yet, there must be a reason why the chachamim were mitaken. It's really like the geder takana, not halacha, but they saw a reason to be mitaken, that this miun is not going to cancel the get of somebody else. Now, why wouldn't it? What are we worried about? Now, we're worried, it's a very interesting concern. Maishna miun dechavre de lo mevatel gita didei. I did makeret berimizotav ukritzotav, azil mashabash umaitela. Okay, period. So now what do they say? Because, okay, who is this? Let's say guy number two. Okay, guy number two gives her a get. Then she does miyun with guy number three. Why is she going to do miyun with guy number three? Because maybe guy number two who gave her a get decides he wants his wife back. And he's going to start flirting with her. Now, since she's makeret berimizotav ukritzotav, they already had a relationship, right? So he starts winking at her, making signs at her, wooing her back. Maybe she'll be mishabesh umaitela. In other words, maybe she'll decide I want to go back to him. So what will she do? She'll say, oh, I'll just get out of my marriage with my husband. I'll do miyun to him, and I'll go back to my original husband. And we want to avoid that situation from happening because even though there's nothing halakhically wrong with it, it's inappropriate that he's pulling her away from someone she's married to. We don't want to create a situation like that. And that's why we're going to say that if she has a get from the guy, we're not going to allow her to do miyun after, right? The miyun after is still going to prevent her from going back to this guy because we don't want a situation where he's pulling her away from someone else. So if we say, even if there was miyun in the middle, you still can't go back to the original guy, it'll prevent this situation from happening. So now they're going to say that should apply even in miyun didei nami lo levatel gita didei. But then miyun with the same guy should be the same issue. In the first case, what happens? She's with a guy. He divorces her. Then she does miyun. Then she goes to be with somebody else. And then, right, what do they say? She's allowed to go back to the first guy. So again, it should be the same concern. So there's no reason to make this distinction if it's the same guy or a different guy. The same issues would still apply.
No, but the first guy, she refused it.
That's
the last step. Because she said to him, I don't want you.
The Gemara is going to answer that.
Well, that's like a woman's school. I'm like, okay, I'll take you back if.
Yafeh. So that's exactly what the Gemara is going to say. Okay? So now they say, okay, so then they say, no, exactly the answer that Debbie gave. In other words, he already tried to get her back, and she didn't go for it, right? He divorced her, then he wants to remarry her, and then she says, I'm not interested, right? So there, you're not worried about that happening, okay? And that's the answer. So Rava can still stand, okay? So now we have two possible answers, okay, for the differences. One is two different opinions, right? And the other is that we're not worried in the first case that he's going to pull her back. It's all just this chashash and this takan. So therefore, they say, so that must not be the contradiction because we have two good answers. So what do they say? Ala'i kashya dechavre adechavre kashya. It's not case, there were three cases in the Mishnah. It's not case number one matched up against case number three that contradict. It's case number two in the Mishnah that contradicts case number three. What's the case? Mi'anabo v'hichzira. Okay, what if she does miyun, then he remarries her. Then natan la get, v'niseit la acher. And then, right, remember, the first case was get, then miyun. The second case was miyun, then get. What if she does miyun, then he gives her a get? Okay, so remember, it ended with a get. So, okay, now, what did the Mishnah say there? Since the get happens at the end, right, and then she goes and she marries someone else, and nit'ar melo nit'garsha, asura lachzorbo, right? She can't marry the first guy. But it's not what it says in the Mishnah, it's what's implied in the Mishnah. What's implied, though? What if she, right, he gave her the divorce, then they remarried. He did miyun. Then what, she does miyun. Then what happens? What if she goes and marries someone else, and she does miyun with the second, with the middle, right, the second guy? If she does miyun, what is she basically saying? I'm dissolving this marriage as if we were never together. She's allowed to go back to the first husband.
Yeah.
You follow?
Yeah.
Ah, that now contradicts what we just said. Because what did we say? We're worried that the first husband is going to woo her away from the second husband, and we want to prevent that from happening. So now, what are we concerned with? Right? Tama dinit armelo nitgarsha. Ha miyanamu teret lachzorbo. So what does that imply then? Alma ate miyun dechavre umevatel gita didei. Right? What do we say then? The miyun of the second guy can cancel out the get of the first guy and basically allow her to be chozer legrusha, right, to her grusha. Okay? Right? Because in that case, the miyun happened, then the get happened. The last thing is a get. Right? But yet, if the next case was miyun, right, if she was mimayim with the next guy, we should allow her to go back to him. But according to the last Mishnah, right, if she had a get, what, this is exactly this, get, miyun. She's not allowed to go back to the guy who she had a get with, even if miyun happened after, because that's the whole concern. We're worried he's going to pull her away from the next husband.
Yeah.
And therefore, the miyun shouldn't allow her to go back to her first husband. So that's the contradiction here. Okay, so now, right, so they say, Uraminhi. And here we're saying if she's yatzda beget and does miyun with the next husband, muteret lachzorlo, right? And then obviously b'miyun muteret lachzorlo. That's not relevant. Ama lo ate miyun dechavre umavata gita didei. Right? The miyun of the next guy isn't canceling out the get of the first guy, according to the last part of the Mishnah. But according to the middle part of the Mishnah, it is working. So again, okay, this time it's not, who said it, the first case? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Here it's Rabbi Elazar says, Tavra, Misha Shanazo, Lo Shanazo. There's two approaches in the Mishnah, okay? One guy says the miyun of the second guy doesn't allow her to go back to the first guy, and another guy says, no, the miyun doesn't allow her, right? Okay, so now, right, if she got a get, she can't go back to him. Ula Amar, Kigon, Sheshulsha Bigitin. So now they say, no. It's the Mishnah gave us a whole slew of cases, but it didn't tell us the end. Really, it's miun get, miun get, miun get. Okay? So there's three cases of get, and then you'd have miun at the end. Okay? So the Mishnah really was talking about a case where there were three divorces. Now, once you have three divorces, there's a chazaka, right, from 6 to 12, right? What are the chances this woman had three divorces and three meals?
Three meals.
Anyway, the point is that once you have these three divorces, you create a chazaka that you're a married woman. And even if you're going to do miyun after, you can't say this woman didn't have some sort of, right? People are going to know she was a married woman. Okay? They're going to hear she was married six times, seven times, right? Okay? So now, we're going to stop here. But the Mishnah's going to, the Gemara's going to try to do, we'll start with tomorrow, is figure out who these two different Tana'im are, right? It's easy to say, oh, there's two different opinions, but we want to find them in the sources, okay? Like, who said what, and where do we see the Tana'im actually had a disagreement about this issue?
You know, the good thing about all this,